ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
But you know what? I know Jesus did those things, and God does still heal people. But what about seeing the biggest miracle of all, a sinner get saved? We don't see that as a big miracle today. You know, we want to, like I said, raise the dead, walk on water, whatever. When one sinner gets saved, the angels rejoice. When someone gets healed, I don't know if there's rejoicing in heaven. It doesn't say. But when someone gets healed, guess what? They're going to eventually die. So salvation is the most important thing. We have to learn to die to self. And again, it's not a popular message. Who wants to hear that today? But Jesus in Luke 9, verses 23 through 26, said to them all, he said, if anyone desires to come after me, well, there it is. We all desire to come after Jesus. What do we have to do? He starts out really hard. Let him deny himself. Are you kidding me? I got to deny myself? Yeah. Take up my cross daily and follow Jesus. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. We have this big push in the church today for self-gratification, self-fulfillment. It's all about self, not denying the flesh. So we build up self, and church leaders are willing to give in to that because it makes people happy. And we become an entertainment center instead of a place of worship. We don't want to walk as Jesus walked. That's a life of sacrifice and obedience. I want to be happy. And so I don't want to hear sound doctrine, healthy doctrine. They never put it that way. But I want to go somewhere where my ears are tickled. You know, do you have any singles in the church? What kind of programs do you have? What kind of coffee do you have in the church? Or whatever. It's interesting because we've lost the perspective. It's not what I can get out of the church. And tragically, you know, we look at some of the televangelists and stuff. It is what they can get out of the church. Everyone here tonight, I know I'm going to get a jet. You guys give me $1,000. God wants you to. He told me $1,000. What are they doing? They're satisfying themselves. They're taking advantage of the people. They're not interested in the people. But what is a pastor supposed to do? Help the people. Hart was telling me one of these guys who was asking for money for his jet said, you know, the reason I can't fly commercials is because everyone wants me to pray for him when I'm on a commercial flight. Hello? That is what you're supposed to do. What is wrong with you? But it's all about me. I don't want to be bothered. I want to sit back and relax on my multi-million dollar jet that I have to pay pilots to fly and gas and really. And you're not caring for the people. And then what ends up happening is a lot of these people, they're looking to have self taken care of. You know what we need to be about is God has gifted me with this. Can I help out somewhere? Can I do something? And sometimes people just start doing things in the church. It's kind of fun. You know, they'll take out the garbage. They'll do this. They'll do that. And you don't even have to ask them. They just, hey, there's a need. I'm going to take care of it. That's what the church is about. Looking out for needs, ministering to people, using the gifts that God has given you to bless people. Yeah. We got to get back to the basics of walking as Jesus walked, in obedience to the Father, dying to self. It's a life of sacrifice. Boyce summed it up like this. He said, the point here is that the one who knows God will increasingly lead a righteous life, for God is righteous. It does not mean that he will be sinless. John's already shown that anyone who claims this is lying. It simply means that he will be moving in a direction marked out by the righteousness of God. If he does not do this, if he is not increasingly dissatisfied with and distressed by sin, he's not God's child. Yeah. We need to be in God's will. We need to seek direction from him because sometimes it's not obvious. And sometimes what we think is right is not right, what we need to do. I'll give you an example. Philip in Acts chapter 8. He's down in Samaria witnessing to people. There's a revival breaking out. You know what happened. You know, Samaria was the place to be. Seeing people saved is a life for me. Land spreading out so far and wide. Keep Jerusalem. Just give me that countryside. Sorry, little Green Acres humor there. But it was going on. Revival's breaking out. And you know what the Lord does? Hey, Philip, you need to move. You need to go down to Gaza, to the desert, deserted place. Lord, I think you messed up on that one. Look at what's going on here. People are getting saved. Revival. No, you need to go down to Gaza. Why? Well, you see, there was this Ethiopian treasurer, and he came to Jerusalem to find God. So he goes to the temple to find God, and, you know, the Jews couldn't help him out on that matter, and he left empty. But when he was in Jerusalem, he purchased the scroll of Isaiah. Very costly. And on his way home, he's reading. Now, they didn't have chapters and verses, okay? It was a scroll, huge scroll. And he's already up to chapter 53 in our Bibles. Chapter 53 about the suffering servant. And here comes Philip. The Ethiopian eunuch goes, hey, do you know who this is? Is this speaking of this man, Isaiah, or somebody else? And Philip shares Jesus with this man. He gets saved. He's baptized. And he goes home with the gospel message to the people in Ethiopia, telling others about Jesus. See, walking where Jesus walked is just a life of obedience and fellowship with the Father as he directs our lives and brings forth the fruit as we abide in him. Just be sensitive to where he's leading. Sometimes it seems ridiculous, but if he's leading, you take those steps of faith. Look at verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. What in the world is John talking about, right? First, he says he's not writing to us a new commandment, but an old one. Then he says he's writing a new commandment to us. Well, John's, you know, like 80, 90 years old. Maybe he's a little off. No, he's not off. Inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So what's he talking about? What does it mean? Well, that word new that John uses in the Greek doesn't mean brand new, like I bought a new car. That would be brand new. Think of it like this. I bought a 67 Mustang. I put a new paint job on it, new interior, new engine. It's beautiful. Is it a new car? No. It's been refreshed. It's an old car that has been made new. That's the whole idea what John is writing about. Let me put it a little clearer for you. Leviticus 19:18. We're told, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Deuteronomy 10:19. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. That's natural love in the Old Testament, kind of a phileo love in the Greek, brotherly type of love, reciprocal type of love. And that's the highest capacity that man can love by. Now, what Christ has done is he's taken this human love and made it into a supernatural love. A word that was made for this is agape love or unconditional love. You see, this is an old commandment that was taken and refreshed. It was made new in a sense. John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another, that agape love, that unconditional love. And we see this played out, this old commandment and the new commandment, in Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48, where Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." That's the old commandment of love, right? "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." That's the new commandment of love. The old commandment, love your neighbor, hate, and hate your enemy. You shall love your neighbor, hate your enemy. That's the old one. Jesus refreshed it. You're to love people with that agape love that only God can give. Unconditional love. Romans 5, verses 5 through 8, Paul gives to us the example of Christ. "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Wow. God has poured his love into our lives as Christians. And now we need to share that love with others. But you can't give what you don't have. And that's the problem many times. Those claim to be walking as Jesus walked and yet not reflecting the love of God, that agape love. And it's important. John's going to answer that for us. It's really important. But let me make one more point before we get to that. When John speaks of the darkness passing away and the true light is already shining, what is he talking about? I think he's talking about the light of God that's burst onto the scene when the Messiah came. Remember when Simeon said, as Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to be circumcised 8 days after he was born? He said in Luke 2, verses 25 through 32, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.'" Isn't that interesting? Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Simeon is talking about Jesus, this baby, why he was brought into this world. He's going to be a light to the Gentiles and to the Jewish people. The light of God, the Shekinah glory, had come forth. It broken into that darkness. Here's the problem. What happens when we don't love people? And this is something that we struggle with when someone does something against us. And, you look at all the things that have happened over the last year and a half or so, you get pretty outraged by it. I mean, I don't know if you've seen what was going on with that pastor in his church in Canada. He was in prison, got released. He had broken some COVID laws, whatever they were. He had his Good Friday resurrection service, and they put up a fence around his church in Canada, locking him and all his parishioners out. What is he going to do? I don't know. But I pray that what he does would be in love, that it wouldn't be anger and hatred, because that would be something that would be really easy to do, right? But show the love of Christ. Pray, "Lord, how do you want us to handle this? You want us to have service outside the fence, outside. And just love the people that are guarding the fence, whatever." I think it's important. It's easy to say, "Look, I'm right, they're wrong. They don't deserve my love," right? Yeah. I mean, think about it. Does it Do we deserve God's love? Wow. You know, I don't like it when I put it that way. And I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you guys and how you feel. But I don't like it when I have to look at it like that. Jesus Christ has forgiven me of every single sin in my life. And then that's how much he loves me. And then he says, okay, I want you to go love that person. But you know what they did to me? No, he says, go love them. You know what you did to me? Oh, yeah, wow. Okay, Lord. You know, when the Lord puts it in perspective, it's pretty clear. And it's hard to come against it. It's impossible to come against it, even though we try. Now, the thing is, we're going to read on here, and John's going to expound on what it means to hate your brother where you're walking. Listen to what he says in verse 9, 1 John 2. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, is John writing to believers or unbelievers? Well, you know, he talks about hates his brother. It almost seems like he's talking to believers. Unbelievers fit very well into that section because, look, there are unbelievers. They claim to be right with God, claiming to be a Christian. But they hate the brethren. They hate their brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so it's deceiving. It's deceptive. What about believers? Well, again, we can make a good case, like I said. Look at what they did to me. Why should I love them? Why should I care about them? Because of what God did to us. How much he loves us. He wants us to do the same. And in 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Where are we walking? Are we walking in the light as he is in the light? Because wherever God is leading us, it's light. It's not darkness. But if we deviate and go off the path that he is setting for us, we're walking in darkness. And we have to be careful. And we have to keep in mind, you know, John is dealing with Gnosticism. Gnosticism was growing in the church back then. And they hated those who were true to God's word. Gnosticism, these guys, and people do this today, they thought that they were more spiritual. And, you know, oh, you can't understand what we're saying to you. It's kind of tough. You have to be pretty smart to understand this. That's what they would tell the people. I've heard that with Reformed theology, too. They use that. You just don't get it. I actually dealt with a guy on an airplane once. I was reading the Dark Side of Calvinism, and it was kind of interesting because he was sitting next to me, and he finally said, "What are you reading?" I said, "Oh, the Dark Side of Calvinism. It's, you know, about Calvinism and how God saves some for heaven and some for hell." He goes, "Well, it's not just that simple." And he turned away. I guess I just didn't get it, right? But they hated those who loved the Lord and were following God's word, the Gnostics. And we're starting to see this hatred again today because those that aren't walking in the truth are starting to hate those who are walking in the truth. Why? Because the truth exposes the darkness that they're walking in. And I'll tell you, it's so blatant today. It's so easy to see the falseness that's out there. You know, Christian tarot cards. It's occultic. What are you talking about? Are you crazy? Christian witches. Come on. We do have a broom closet, but it's for a different broom. You know, we don't want people flying in here. That's how ridiculous. Grave sucking. You go on a grave of a dead Christian and lay on that grave and suck the energy out. And they get very angry when you stand up against them. Sorry. We're to expose the darkness. And I don't know where they're at with God. That's between them and God. I have no idea. But they're leading people down the wrong path. And that's what's dangerous. You know, the truth of God exposes their lies. And they get mad when you come against it. Now, again, some would say, well, how is that loving? If you're coming against what they're saying, what they're teaching, how is that loving? All right, I understand that. But if you knew that there was something deadly that this person was going to ingest. And you just didn't want to get into it with them, and you let them ingest it and they died? Is that loving that person? Absolutely not. You love them because you've warned them. Hey, don't take that. That's going to kill you. It's poison. You see the label on that? You care for them. And that's why we speak the truth, because we care for people. And I know it's difficult, but God wants us again to love as He's loved us, to love as He's walked, to be obedient to Him. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. There you go. When I trust in my own understanding of a situation, forget it. I am so far off. I mean, last week I was in a race, right? And it was, you know, a trail run. You were going through a forest. And we came out of the forest, and for others that were going, doing more miles than I was just doing one lap around. There was a point where you'd go to the right to go farther or go to the left to the finish line. I went the wrong way. I know you guys are shocked. You're like, I can't believe it. Joe went the wrong way. Yeah, I did. I went the wrong way. I kind of thinking, this does not seem right. So I said to the guy who was coming up behind me, I said, is this the way to go farther, or is the finish line that way? He goes, yeah. I go, oh, I got to turn around. Yeah. The way of man, don't lean on that. Acknowledge Him. Let Him direct your paths. If you walk in the light as He's in the light, you are not going to stumble. It's as simple as that. But if you refuse to love as God has called you to love, if you refuse to walk as He's walked, if you refuse to be obedient to the Lord, you are going to stumble. Your hatred will cause you to trip. And yes, Christians can and do struggle in these areas. We can let hate, bitterness affect our lives, and it will hinder our fellowship with God. And it's amazing the things we can say or do when we allow hatred to build inside of us. And isn't it easy just to snap, just to let things flow out of our mouth? And it's like, ah, I wish I could take it back. You can't. You can apologize, but you can't take it back. You think, well, why is John so focused on this love? He's talking about it a lot. Because if you lose love, you really lose everything, don't you? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. And everything after that in Galatians comes out of that love. So it is important. Don't let hatred be a stumbling block in your life. Let the love of God grow in you, so it's manifested not only in you, but through you to others. 1 John 5, verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Lord, help us to love, right? People more and more. Because, and I'll give you this little insight. The world is going to get less and less loving. They're going to be so antagonistic against us or towards us. And we must be careful that we don't respond as they would respond, because we have a new nature. We have Christ dwelling in us. We have a Spirit empowering us. And we need to share with them the love of Christ, because you don't know by the words you say, by the compassion you show to people who are really angry and nasty at you, that may break them and they may come to saving faith. We're not going to obviously finish up this chapter this evening. And I, again, do not like rushing through. So we'll finish up 1 John chapter 2 next week as we begin looking at verse 12, a section dealing with spiritual growth. Again, John dealt with love. Now he's saying, okay, now you got that love going. Now let's grow. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you're so patient and kind and long-suffering with us. You continually work with us. You never give up. We give up on ourselves so often. We condemn ourselves, which we shouldn't do, because there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And Lord, thank you for not giving up. Help us, Lord, to live a life that would honor you, that would bless people, It's not just loving those that love us. It's loving our enemies, those who spitefully use us. We are to reach out to them with the love of Christ and pray that they would come to saving faith, because that's truly our mission here. We're just on a work of God to bring people into the kingdom of God before the bridegroom comes for his bride. Give us such a passion for the lost. Give us, Lord, such an empowerment of by your Spirit to speak the words we need to speak to each individual. We love you, and we thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.